The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
So why did Jesus have to get baptized? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. We love doing this. We get questions from listeners all over the world through email. By the way, if you've got a question, you can send it to us, radio@faithalone.org. Now, before we get to our discussion of our question today, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference. It's a wonderful time every year to get together with other like-minded believers and learn more from the Bible. Hopefully, you'll join us. You can learn more about that event by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the show. We are discussing theological questions. I get into all kinds of heated theological questions. I think those are mostly good because, you know, you're engaged in this. You don't want to get angry. You don't want to, like, be belittling the other person. But if you're intensely interested in something and you're debating something, sometimes it gets kind of heated. And sometimes you need to walk away and take a breath and come
right,
back to it.
Right.
But don't be afraid of getting into a good, deep discussion because otherwise you don't have those discussions and you don't learn and you get your questions unanswered and you get your assumptions unchallenged and you kind of go through life not being able to grow.
So yeah,
you need
right.
to ask those questions to grow and be challenged to grow. Like, here's a challenge to us from Cindy. And Cindy says she listened to our discussion on why Jesus was baptized. And she says, although I agree with what you said, I wish you would have read the verses that tell us why Jesus was baptized. And I guess we were discussing, why was it that Jesus was baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. Well, what did that mean? And then she cites in John 1, and is actually really helpful. Thank you, Cindy, for sending this in. Here's what it says. So she quotes from John 1, which is really, we should have looked at it, starting at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse 31, "I did not know him," and then she's underlined this, "but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." And it goes on, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him." And then she underlines this, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." And Cindy concludes, Jesus was baptized so that he could be revealed as the Messiah to Israel and so that he could be revealed to John. John was testifying about the coming Messiah, but according to his own words, he did not know who that was. So would you agree, is that one of the reasons why Jesus was baptized?
Well, more or less, but notice in verse 31, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." I think Cindy reads this as, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I baptized him." That's not what it says.
Yeah, okay.
In other words, his baptism of repentance was to lead the nation to faith in Messiah. He was the forerunner of the Messiah.
Okay.
And his baptism of repentance wasn't just baptizing Jesus. In fact,
right.
he didn't even baptize Jesus for a baptism of repentance because Jesus had nothing to repent of. His baptism of Jesus was completely different than his baptism of anybody else.
Oh, did you get that from the text, or is that more of a theological argument?
Well, we're told that he was conducting a baptism of repentance. And in Luke 3, it says they were coming out of the water confessing their sins.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't have any sins to confess.
No, but he still...
Jesus had no need to repent.
But he still did that baptism, though.
Right, and he didn't need to be baptized for his own sake. So
you're right.
It was to fulfill all righteousness,
yeah.
which... Not real clear exactly what that means.
Right.
We're not told.
Right.
But my point is, in verse 31, it's simply saying that his baptism was to reveal Jesus to Israel. And, Cindy is correct, also to reveal to John the Baptist who the Messiah is.
Right.
What's interesting about this, and I'm glad Cindy brought it up, is that Jesus was John's cousin. He was younger than John by a few months.
Yeah, a few months, yeah.
But he was actually older, as John says. He was before me. referring ultimately to the eternality of Jesus, whether John understood that or not.
Yeah.
But my point is this. John the Baptist was already born again, and yet he didn't know who the Messiah was.
He knew there was a Messiah.
And he knew the Messiah guaranteed everlasting life,
yeah.
And he knew he was the forerunner of the Messiah. And he knew he was baptizing people as the forerunner of the Messiah.
Yeah.
But God had not yet revealed to him who the Messiah was. This is kind of like Simeon and Anna when the baby Jesus, 40 days old, is brought to the temple.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit reveals to them this yeah. is Messiah.
Yeah, they believed Messiah was coming. They just didn't know which person it was.
Well, not only did they believe he was coming, but they also believed that by faith in the coming Messiah, they would be in the coming kingdom. The Old Testament scriptures testified of Messiah. And, of course, Jesus is Messiah, so they testified of him. He fulfilled these prophecies.
Sure.
But they don't exactly mention his name unless
sure.
you take references to he will be the Savior, he will save his people, those kinds of things. The word Yeshav is basically like Yeshua, where we get the name Jesus.
Yeah. So this baptism then revealed that Jesus himself was the Messiah.
To John the Baptist and ultimately to Israel, although Jesus was an independent witness. Remember in John chapter 5, as I recall, Jesus gives four different lines of proof that he is the Messiah. And that's in verses 31 through, I guess, the end of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So there's one witness that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
But then he goes on and gives three more. The second one is the works that the Father has given me to finish.
Mm-hmm.
The very works that I do bear witness. That's verse 36.
Yeah.
And then the third witness is the Father himself who sent me has testified
yeah.
to me.
And he testified at Jesus' baptism.
He
right?
did. And then the fourth is the scriptures. So there are four different independent witnesses of Jesus being the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to those who believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was the experience of the Father testifying of him.
Right.
And that wouldn't simply be at his baptism, I think, although that's part of it. He also testified of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in
right.
whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now, he's talking to believers,
right.
but still it's a testimony.
Right.
Both what John said and what the Father said at his baptism.
Right, and the Spirit is there too, descending.
And the
him.
Spirit descends on him, although
yeah.
it's not clear whether that manifestation was observable to all. John
yeah.
saw that.
Right.
Did everybody see that? I don't know.
Yeah.
They heard the voice.
They heard the voice. So, I don't know. Maybe they saw the Spirit. I'm not sure. But John saw it, and he knew the Messiah was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, I guess that was important for him to see.
Right.
Interesting question. I have a question that builds on this.
Okay.
John says, I did not know him. Now, John jumps in the womb when he meets the pregnant Mary. So, there's some type of prenatal recognition of the Messiah there. So do you think we don't know anything about him. How did he end up in the desert? How long was he there? How soon did he kind of separate from his family? And so he didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah? I mean, did he not?
That's what he says.
Or did he not know that this guy was Jesus' cousin? I mean, sometimes if you haven't seen someone in 20 years, you don't recognize them anymore. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that may be. But even if he didn't know he was his cousin, what we know for sure is he didn't know he was Messiah.
I don't understand
you're saying
that.
When he says, I didn't know him, you're saying he didn't know that he was, didn't know him at all?
It seems like he would have known Jesus was the Messiah since, because he recognized Jesus as Messiah in his womb. He must have grown up knowing
okay.
his cousin was the Messiah because of the story with Mary and his own mom getting pregnant miraculously and all that stuff.
Well, okay, let's look at it this way. Jesus' own brothers and sisters didn't believe in him.
They didn't believe in
him.
And
they grew up with him.
You're right.
John didn't.
Right. But he's not saying, so is this different? I didn't know him. I didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So like he believed when he was a baby and he stopped believing. And
I don't think he believed when he was a baby. I think when he was in the womb, he jumped because he was in the presence of Messiah. But does that mean he somehow saw through his mother's body
right.
and saw
you're
into
right.
Mary's body and saw?
But it's like after he's born, like Elizabeth never tells him about this. She never tells him about Mary and how his cousin is the Messiah and this prophecy from his dad.
Now,
and you're going to be the forerunner and this is your cousin.
Yeah, now seems you're asking a great question.
It seems like the type of things you might talk about.
That makes a lot of sense. But then again, you have to ask the question, Elizabeth, we know she and Zacharias were righteous people.
Yeah.
Were they convinced that the baby that was going to be born to Mary was Messiah?
Well, they had to be, right? Because her pregnancy was linked to Mary's and Mary's was linked to hers. I mean, it's all part of the same story.
Yes, I think so. But if that's the case, then why didn't she share this with John, her son?
I assume she did.
And if that's the case, then why didn't he know that Jesus was the Messiah and just follow him around until Jesus began his public ministry, until he began his public ministry?
Well, I'm wondering, like, what does that mean? Does it mean, like, so John goes off, like, in his teen years or something, and he spends, like, 15 years in the desert, and he comes back, maybe hasn't seen his cousin in 15 years, and Jesus has changed physically since when they were kids, I assume.
You know, Sean, Raymond Brown, in his commentary on John, he makes this point. The statement that until the baptism, John the Baptist did not recognize Jesus as the one to come implies that John the Baptist was not too familiar with Jesus, although some would claim that he knew Jesus, but not as the pre-existent one. It is not clear if this can be reconciled with the relationship between the two posited in the Lucan infancy narrative. That's what you
were
talking about.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Brown goes on, however, Luke 1:80 does suggest that John the Baptist grew up as a solitary in the desert of Judea apart from any family contacts. So that would fit with what you were suggesting earlier.
So maybe he probably heard about his cousin being Messiah from his mom. But then he was gone from home for so long.
Maybe 20 years.
When he sees the adult Jesus, he doesn't know who that is. He's just another man in the crowd as far as John is concerned.
And he's not wearing a name tag. I'm your cousin.
Yeah, so he didn't know who Messiah was until...
Yeah, I think putting it together with the infancy narrative, and as your point about Elizabeth and Zacharias would have shared this, I think he would have known that Messiah was his cousin Jesus, but he didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
He probably hadn't seen him since they were children.
All right. Be like Cindy. Send us a good question to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.